Hey, before we get started, gotta go ahead and pay the bills around here. Go ahead and do me a quick favor. I've got two books out. I know, you're probably thinking if this is the first time you've heard of me or the first time you've actually heard me in a while. My God, Remso can read? Yeah, I can read and write. And if you're my ninth grade English teacher, guess what? I can do it in freaking English too. Because unlike my name, all I know is English. Oh, blowing your mind and blow the minds of those around you with my two books, Stay Away from the Libertarians, as well as my newest novel, How to Succeed in Politics and Other Forms of Devil Worship. Those are, I gotta go for the shorter titles. Stay Away from the Libertarians and How to Succeed in Politics and Other Forms of Devil Worship. Available on my website, rwmartinez.com, as well as Amazon and Barnes & Noble online. Check them out. How to Succeed in Politics and Other Forms of Devil Worship and Stay Away from the Libertarians. Available. Well, you know how the internet works. You can go ahead and find it yourself. Pick them up today in print and digital and help support the show. And, Hey, I like making money. I'm not gonna say no. Everything comes back here. Help me out. Buy my books. That's all. That's about it. Move with the rhythm. Shake it up. Stop when the clock hits 13. You've been working, but you're flirting with the weekend. You can freak out. One in a million. You're a gem shine when the light grows dim. Sing 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 1. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it. All right, so this was a awesome, successful weekend of back-to-back book signings all over the area. On Saturday, I hit up McKay's Used Books in Manassas, and on Sunday, I was at Barnes & Noble at Fair Lakes in Fairfax, Virginia, and both days were awesome. I've done a lot of book signings, but I can say that this weekend was probably the most successful. Probably because I learned not to make certain mistakes that I made the first couple times I did book signings. And I had another one last month where I was able to test out in a different environment. I was actually speaking and I did the signing afterwards, so people got to know me, hear from me a little bit. That gave them some time to decide. But this is an episode where I'm going to be talking using the examples of book signings and authors, but really I think these can be used for any skill. Whether you're a political activist who's tabling, whether you're a salesman who's doing some type of direct marketing campaign, I think these skills are really universal. So I'm going to be talking about book signings as an example, but really just take out some of the words and replace it with stuff that relates to you, and hopefully you will use these skills for something useful down the road, whether now or in the future. So before I get to that, one quick story. I posted this on Instagram and Facebook. You can go ahead and follow me everywhere, social media-wise, at Hey Remso, H-E-Y-R-E-M-S-O, because some of you spelled it R-E-S-M-O, Resmo. My name's not that fucking complicated. I don't get why people fuck it up so easily, but whatever. Anyway, I was at McKay's on Saturday, and literally, so I had to bring my own table, I had to bring my own cloth, and they make you do all this because McKay's actually does not take a consignment fee for, authors that come, which is actually really nice, but what they make you do instead is that you have to bring your own table and everything, and you have to process payments yourself. You see, when I go to Barnes & Noble, they have a sign up for me, they have a table with a cloth on it, they add the books that I bring to their current inventory, and then they process the payments. And as part of the deal, they take around 14% of total sales, which isn't a problem. I don't have a problem with that. McKay's is actually the first place I've been to where I didn't have to pay the host anything, and for that I'm extremely grateful. But I set up my table, set up my display. I take great pride in my display. I have the little tripods to make like a book pyramid, and I have my signs and everything. I'm kind of proud of what I do. That's why I post pictures of it all the time, to give you ideas and also make me remember how to do a setup in case I liked one more than the other, ipso facto, whatever. But this kid, he's literally still wearing freaking diapers. He wasn't even like out of that toddler phase. He was like right at the cusp where he's still an innocent child, but he's learning to say things that can very easily get him beaten up by his parents. foreshadowing. So anyway, this kid literally runs up to me, points at me as his mom is walking behind him. And as she catches up, he points at me and says, "Look, Mom, he can't sell anything." And I just kind of started laughing nervously because I'm like, why would he, of all people, say that? That's just kind of random. Well, before I had even a second to take offense, his mom puts her hand on his chest, pushes him to the floor, and starts smacking him like it's going out of style. Now, for all of you that remember that movie Billy Madison, you know the scene where the one guy who's the bad guy in the film catches on fire and Billy Madison, Adam Sandler's character, just starts like clapping like a seal and stuff and laughing? That's kind of how I was, but I was also like terrified because like this woman had no qualms about beating the shit out of her child. And I'm not for hitting children. I'm kind of against that. Like, I mean, you know, a smack here and there, you gotta discipline your kids, but it was just brutal. It was just really fucking vicious. And yeah, needless to say, what would have been nice is if she bought a book out of pity for her child's insults thrown at me. But watching that little shit, you know, develop his own supervillain origin story, so one day he'll remember that moment when he decided to wreak havoc upon planet Earth, kind of entertaining. So anyway, that kind of brings me to the first point. I could have easily tried to sell to that woman. And when you're at a book signing, the last thing anyone wants to have done to them is to be sold to. The thing is about everybody, everyone wants to buy something. Nobody likes being sold because they don't like being put on the spot. They don't like feeling obligated to. There are two types of people. There are impulsive people. You have the impulsive people that will not buy, and you have the impulsive people that will buy. I'm of the mindset that if you play law of averages, just say hi, start as many conversations with different people, they're immediately going to start to make a decision. They're either going to recognize you and, you know, make eye contact, say hello back, and they're going to be interested in buying, or they're not. It's not my job to chase people down. It's not my job to go around the store trying to convince people to buy it. If they want to buy it, they're going to buy it. If they're not going to buy it, they're not going to buy it. The key is talk to as many people as possible. Now, when I was at Barnes & Noble yesterday, it was really kind of a different case because at McKay's, I was like in the middle of the store. This time, I was at the front of the store at Barnes & Noble. So I spoke to everybody, and I was there for 4 hours. I probably shook hands and spoke to probably more than 200 people. It was a big rush. This is one of the most active Barnes & Nobles in the country. And what I've learned is that people that might want to buy from you, if you start really sounding pitchy and you really start trying to sell to them, they will turn into that person that's like, oh, he's trying to sell me out, like it. Because we all like to think that we ultimately have the choice. We don't want to be told what choices to make. I had conversations with people ranging from like ancient aliens to the watch I was wearing to what's it like writing at the Washington Times to have self-publish a book. Just have good, genuine conversations with people, because when you're doing this as an author, you're not just selling a book, you're selling yourself. I'm hoping that these people will tell their friends about me. I'm hoping that they'll read some of my stuff or listen to the podcast or follow me on social media. The book is how you get money out of it. You want to sell the book. But ultimately, people will remember you. If they buy the book and they didn't like you, they're not going to read it. They might leave a shitty review. They might not recommend it. But if they like you and they bought the book, they're more likely to be an ambassador for you. And that's free marketing to a large degree. So really, don't sell. Just have a good time. Enjoy yourself. And that brings me to my next point. Proper attire. This is the one thing that I think some authors overthink, and here's all I'm going to say about it. Now, I work in an office where I have to dress business casual. Some days, if I go somewhere, I have to wear a suit and tie. I have gone to a book signing wearing slacks and a button-down shirt, a bit preppier. If I'm going to a Barnes & Noble, I think, honestly, just wear something presentable but comfortable, because you're going to be, if you're like me, you're going to be standing for a while. Yesterday I wore some loafers with dark jeans, a t-shirt, and a nice wool cardigan, and a nice dress watch. You don't have to do that, but don't show up in shorts, don't show up in sandals, don't show up in sweatpants, don't look like you just rolled out of bed. So it's that fine line between just kind of be casual, but touch it up a bit. The cardigan was kind of like the classier touch up for my outfit yesterday. I have worn, you know, slacks and button downs and a suit jacket every once in a while. But, you know, I think ultimately you have to fit where you're going. When I went to McKay's this week, it's a used bookstore downtown. I wore jeans. I wore a pair of Converse All-Stars and an untucked long-sleeve rugby polo, and I wore a jacket most of the time. No one is there to be impressed by me. Ultimately, I'm selling my book at a used bookstore, so no one's going to be impressed by you. Whereas if I go to the Fairfax Barnes & Noble, it's a bit more of a crowd that's willing to pay wholesale, you know, I'm sorry, not wholesale, but MSRP. They're willing to pay full price for stuff. They're going to drop money. Everyone that walks into that Barnes & Noble mainly buys something. So, you know, look where you're at. Dress up a little bit more. And then when I go to speaking events where I'm also selling my book, put on a jacket. Show respect to the people that show up, whether they're for you, whether they show up for you, or whether they're just there. Show some respect. So ultimately, I think if you know your crowd, if you know your area, dress accordingly. I would never buy from somebody wearing sweatpants or sandals. 5, table layout. This is not something that I think a lot of people would have a problem with. I think that everybody wants to put their best foot forward. But I have seen people really, really screw that up. Case in point, I'm volunteering for a candidate. I was working for this guy. Yeah, I was actually paid. Yeah, I was getting paid for this dude. I was at the Dulles Gun Show tabling for a congressional candidate I worked for. And this is in Fairfax, the Dulles Gun Show, nation's largest gun show. And the dude next to us was working, ironically, for a Libertarian Senate candidate. And all this guy had was the table and a bunch of clipboards. No signs, no handouts, nothing. He had long, greasy hair. He had a bald spot, so it was kind of like a mullet type of thing. It was disgusting. A shirt with stains on it and tattered jeans. You walk past that, you have no clue what the fuck is going on. He looks like the Unabomber. And, you know, I was there for like 5 hours. I saw like maybe 2 people talk to this guy because he was trying to sell to them. He was calling out people. He was trying to get people to come to him. He just came off as creepy. So he did 3 things wrong. He didn't dress for the crowd because he looked like a bum. He tried to sell to people, which turned away impulsive people that were either going to not sign or talk to him immediately faster, or impulsive people that would have bought or would have signed his petition or whatever, but didn't like being sold to. That, and he had no layout. He had nothing. Now, he was just a volunteer. It should have been his candidate's job to give him some materials to look a bit more presentable. But, you know, have some stuff out. Something I wish I could have done, I tried doing this. I have bookmarks, but there's a typo in the bookmarks. So I'm not going to give away free bookmarks with typos on them. So I got to fix that for next time. But, you know, I have some poster displays. I have a trifold stand that I could stack books on. I don't do much. I spent maybe, like, on my display, probably $20 when you count the posters and the plastic stands to slide them into and stuff. You don't really have to go all out. But just putting a little bit of effort into your presentation will bring people over. Because if it looks like shit, everyone's going to know it looks like shit. No one's going to be nice to you and say, oh, I'll give them a chance. Maybe those people will. But most of the time, they're going to go ahead and say it looks like shit. Secondly, discounting your books or adjusting prices. I think this is entirely up to you. When I go to a bookstore like Barnes & Noble, for example, I will sell it for full retail price because that's the acceptable amount. I know the people there, they're going to buy full price for books. My books are typically cheaper than most of the books at Barnes & Noble. And, you know, they're getting a percentage of that. So I want to make sure I get the full dollar amount possible. When I go to Barnes & Noble, I do not cut prices. With that said, when I was at McKay's, I understand nobody wants to pay full price for anything. Everyone wants a deal. What I did for stay away from the libertarians was I took a few bucks off. I sold it for $10. For How to Succeed in Politics and Other Forms of Devil Worship, I took off 99 cents. And what I did if you bought both books was that you could get both of my books for $20. that was a good deal. I made some sales. It worked out. I knew my audience. I knew they weren't going to pay full price for anything. So I let them know, hey, these are limited prices. There's a limited deal. I'm going to sign it for free. Take a picture if you want. No one ever wants to take pictures with me, which breaks my heart. But I've got a face for radio, so I've understood that for years. That's fine. Now, when I go to speaking events, it's a little bit different. I typically, well, I'll do for nonprofit organizations. So if you're a president, a treasurer, if you work for a nonprofit advocacy group or a charity, this is for you. But what I do when people invite me to speak and they allow me to sell my books, I give them like $5 out of every sale. It's considered a donation. It's never been implied that I have to do that, but I do that just because I want to help out. And usually people, I've gotten tips from people. I had somebody give me a $5 tip just because he liked me one time. I mean, it's just people are more willing to buy if they know it's supporting a cause. People are willing to buy more, so that way everybody benefits a little bit more. And I think it also puts out goodwill, so that way people will remember this, and maybe you'll get invited back for something. I've gone back to the same Young Republicans group in Loudoun twice, and I love them. I sell a ton of books. We both make a ton of money. We're all really happy. One of the tips I wish I could have done, and I'm probably going to start doing this in the future, I know that I need to go ahead and get as much out of it. I'm promoting myself. I'm promoting my book. I'm promoting all my projects. One thing I probably am going to start doing is I'm going to start asking people, hey, do you want to sign up for my email list? Because they might not remember my podcast. They might not remember my TV show. They might not remember my Washington Times column or my social medias. If I can just get their email, which is free, and people sign up for stuff that they don't really care about all the time, maybe if, let's say, I get 10 people and 5 of them gave me the right email, I can go ahead and send out an email to that 10 people, hoping that the 5 open it up. 2 people are going to get, you know, maybe acquainted with my stuff. 1 person's going to become a super fan. Of every 10 people, if I can reach out to somebody who I've made contact with and then I put forth the effort and reach out, I'm getting a super fan. There's a person that's always going to support my stuff, always going to follow my stuff, going to advocate for me. That's free marketing. That's free money. So that's what I'm going to start doing. So, yeah. Oh, and when people, like, I've had people say shit to me. That child was probably the biggest asshole. But honestly, I've never really encountered mean people during a signing. I've encountered some belligerent people who are just envious, crude, mean people. Just smile and laugh and just be yourself. Don't get mad. They want you to get mad because you're doing something that they won't do. You're putting forth the effort. You're hustling on the weekend. Both the last couple days, like, I got home, I was wiped out. And I still had to do other work. So, you know, I had to switch my schedule this week. So typically I'd work on Sundays, but I don't want to use a vacation day or sick day or anything. So I just said, hey, I'll come in this Friday. Fridays are usually the first day off for me. So this week I only get Saturday off. Hey, doesn't matter. I technically got a 3-day weekend because I got Friday through Sunday off, but I was working Saturday and Sunday. So it's that trade-off. Always remember, your job comes first. Everything comes first. Make your schedule work around that and understand that you're going to, as Dave Ramsey says, you're going to live like no one else so that you're going to work like no one else so that way you could live like no one else. So if you're an author, if you're a salesman, if you've done anything tabling wise, what are some of your tips? Let me know on Twitter, Hey Remso. Let me know on Instagram, Hey Remso. Please go ahead and send this episode to somebody you think it'll help out, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Take care. Like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. 'Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. We got the rise up. We put that.